On the phone on Static this evening, we say Happy New Year to Peter from Field Music. How do?
I'm very well, thank you. Happy New Year to you too.
And it's always good when we start a new year with a new Field Music album. Peter, you guys are kind of like clockwork. Every alternate year, at the very start of the year, there's a Field Music album.
It's not planned. It's really not planned. I don't know how that happens, but we do end up doing that. I don't know how, but we do.
I actually picture that you guys must have been chomping at the bit to get records out, and you had a label saying, nah, you've got to wait till the new year. And so as soon as the new year clocked over, that's when you were doing it.
It's possible. It's possible. I think it might have something to do with maybe nobody else releases albums in January or something, so I think maybe the label say that's a good time.
You've made your mark. And the genesis for this year's Field Music album came about over 12 months ago because the songs on it grew from this project you undertook for the Imperial War Museum and then performed at a couple of their sites last year. So were the pieces you wrote for those performances very different from what's ended up on the record?
The pieces on the record are essentially the same as the pieces we performed at the two gates at the Imperial War Museum in Manchester and London. And the initial starting point was this image. It's kind of like a seismograph, really. These sort of six lines, which were from a technique called sound ranging. And essentially it was microphones used to pinpoint where enemy guns were and some bright sparks at the front. I figured it would be a good idea to set this machine away, the sound ranging machine with the six microphones, and captured the end of the war, really.
So when the guns stop firing, there's a noticeable drop.
Yeah, so you can imagine this seismograph and there's these guns going off and you can see it drawn on this paper, and then when it gets to the 11:11, the 11th minute, everything's silent, just six straight lines.
It's amazing to have this sort of visual representation of such an immense turning point in history.
Yeah, it had all of us, even the people at the museum, kind of flabbergasted, really, that they'd sort of chanced upon this in an old American munitions manual. And when we saw this thing, it looked like sound waves, really. And we thought, OK, well, what we could do is imagine these six lines, you know, they fall silent. And then over the next 100 years, these six lines can kind of help tell the story of the aftermath of the First World War.
Because you and your brother, David, in Field Music, had also done some of your own research to write these songs, and it was also a subject matter that you two were somewhat au fait with, because even a few years ago, you worked with this Newcastle duo called Warm Digits on their soundtrack for a documentary on World War One. So it's almost like this is becoming your area of history buff or specialty, isn't it?
Well, I think there might have just been some good funding opportunities around the centenary of the war. I mean, I'm being honest, you know, that's the case, really.
So I hope Field Music is still going in 2045 and you can do the end of World War II centenary as well, then.
Yeah, I don't know whether we'll get asked to do anything more like that anyway now. We've shot our whack with that, I think. But, I mean, it was a great thing to be asked to do, and we had kind of free rein, really.
And so these songs have now given themselves into becoming what is Field Music's first true concept album, and this thing is a 19-track opus, and it seems that you've taken the idea, as you say, of what went on after the guns stopped firing, because a lot of these songs largely are about the consequences and after effects of the war, right, Peter?
Yeah, we didn't really want to write about the war in general. You know, we thought lots of other people were doing that, who were commemorating the war and thinking about the war and thinking about the grief and the loss and sort of emotional traumas that it caused. And we thought, well, let's not do that. Let's look at the various things that happened because of the war, technological advances, societal advances, cultural advances.
It's amazing to hear some of the things that happened because of the war documented in these songs. A Change of Air was inspired by this guy called Dr. Harold Gillies, who did some pioneering work on skin grafts in the war, and then that led him to perform some of the very first gender reassignment surgeries. And then there's another song called Only in a Man's World, which addresses the development of women's sanitary towels, which is something else that came out of the war as well.
Why not? Yeah. And these are little stories that we picked up on. I mean, they're big stories in a way, and we thought, well, we can kind of tell these stories as if we were somebody involved in it, you know, in the story itself, you know, so we thought, well, we can make interesting songs from a perspective within that story. we weren't really trying to be sort of history teachers or anything. We just thought there were some great stories that we could reveal.
Hence the album name as well then, Peter. These advancements were Making a New World, which is what the record's called.
So exactly, yeah, exactly.
Does it give your music a different sense of purpose when the lyrics are rooted in realism and history? I mean, they're a long way from something like Breakfast Song, you know, which is I'll wait until the morning, get up and make you breakfast, which is an early field music song. Do you feel a sense of importance about writing these songs?
Yeah, I think we felt the responsibility of having to deal with these stories, really. We didn't want to get it wrong. We thought we had to be sensitive. So it's not just us talking about ourselves, you know, which is kind of what we normally do anyway. You know, we talk about our own perspective on things in the songs. We thought, well, we need to handle this in a different way. And I think, in a way, it's been really good for me and David, songwriters, to have done this. We've had to be sensitive, we've had to be responsible with the material, and we've had to get the facts right as well.
Well, the songs aren't too full of facts and figures or even gloom and doom. I mean, they still ultimately had to work as pop songs as well, because there's always a pop heart beating on a field music record.
We can't get away from that. That's just kind of what we do. We even tried to get away from it, and I think we failed. I think they sound like field music songs to me.
I've got no complaints about there being harmonic hook-filled songs on a record, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You've still worked in a few different styles on this field music album. There's these dramatic dynamics on a song like Between Nations. That one's almost a mini opera, and you've got plenty of interludes as well, Peter.
Yeah. On some of the tracks, we decided not to make them into songs. We thought it was quite difficult to do the stories justice in terms of writing about them in a song form. So sometimes the stories are just interludes with a few lyrics, and sometimes they might be a musical interlude. So we tried to mix it up a bit, really.
And Peter, did a different kind of songs call for a different approach in terms of recording this album? Because you used the field music live band and essentially played the songs through because you'd already done these performances.
Yeah.
Rather than sort of piecing them together in the studio.
Yeah, that was a totally new experience for us, yeah. Because we knew the songs, we essentially went in for one day with the band and we ran through the whole album twice. We wanted to make it kind of live sounding in a way, you know, have performance. So there are some mistakes that have been left in, which we always do. We always kind of leave mistakes in because it can be interesting. So we just did two full takes of the full album. So we ran through it, you know, whatever, however long it is, 45 minutes-ish. That was it, really.
You finally cracked it all these years of fussing over records and you can do them now and be home for tea.
Well, that was the idea. I think we actually did need to be home for tea. I think Dave might have been making dinner for his family that day, so we could only run through it twice. That was it.
I like to think that I can hear that live band in a lot of the songs I'm Making a New World as well. Well, it sort of lent itself to the late night jazz flourishes of a song like I Thought You Were Something Else, which you might not have worked into a record had you had more time to kind of piece it together yourselves.
Yeah, I think you can hear that, really. I think there are some things that we would not have done on a sort of regular or one of our usual field music albums. I think because the songs were also accompanied, there was a film accompanying the songs as well, there are kind of gaps, moments where you can kind of breathe within the music. It's not full of information all of the time. There are kind of moments where there are gaps.
But there's plenty of moments where there aren't gaps as well, Peter, because you guys have segued so much from one song to the next. I don't know how you're going to perform this album live, because it's going to be no time to blow your nose on stage, having to pivot from one song to the next so quickly.
Oh, that's fine. We've worked in the blowing our nose. We all carry a handkerchief in our pockets. And, you know, when one of the musicians takes, you know, when Liz starts playing the piano, I've got time to mop my brow or something.
I was hoping you were going to say you might have hanky roadies by now, you know, people that can come out and blow your nose for you.
That would be the day, yeah. We can barely afford our own hankies.
Well, speaking about taking field music on the road, I have to ask the million-dollar question here while I've got you. The glaring omission, of course, is that field music have never been to Australia, Peter. And what are we going to do about this?
I don't know. Crowdfund a trip or something over there? That would be quite good.
Maybe we can commission you to write some Australian album for the next field music record.
Bring you out here that way. Send me a letter.
Songs about wildlife or neighbours or something you'll be able to do, right?
Yeah, anything. We're not choosy, you know, we'll do anything.
Well, look, I am keeping my fingers and toes crossed that you can bring the band and your hankies down here at some point, Peter. But for now, we might have a listen to Best Kept Garden off Making a New World. It was great to at least get you on the phone to chat about this record, and one day we will get you here.
I hope so.
I hope so too. This is Best Kept Garden from Field Music on Static. Thanks for the chat.
Oh, thanks very much. Thanks so much. Won't hear a word again, stop.